Hello everybody, this is Tantra FM and I'm your host Valentino. Today we shall be dealing with the following articles. More about love. You are as young as your love and faith. You are as old as your isolation and doubt. You are as young as the greatness of your self-confidence and hopes. You are as old as your discouragement. You will always stay young as long as you will be full of love and goodwill and open towards everything that is beautiful, good, true, great, and divine, receptive to the voice of love, to the people around you, to the infinite, and to God. Contemplative Sexuality, Part 1. My tuna is the great central axis around which most of the Tantra Yoga metaphysics turns, and it is a frequent topic in religious Hindu sculpture and art. Missionaries, people from the Occident, and even Hindu men, influenced by the Occidental culture, regard these works of art to be pornographic and claim that sexual yoga is a perverted and degraded form of Oriental spirituality. But scholars with high qualifications such as Woodrow, Dasgupta, Kumaraswamy, Eliade, and many others established the irrefutable truth that these images are not pornographic at all, but represent in a symbolical way metaphysical doctrine and a sacred act. Contemplative Sexuality, Part 2. The profound meaning of sexual yoga cannot be understood unless we understand the basic principles of Tantra and Taoism. We shall elaborate on this much further. Contemplative Sexuality, Part 3. In our civilization, sexuality is way below its potential. The contemplative sexuality makes it possible to spontaneously perceive our relationship with the universe. The actual technique of lovemaking is not primarily important, because here, there is no result to attain. In this approach, both man and woman are spontaneously thrust on the path of self-discovery, without judgment or expectance, but living passionately in that which is and exists in that moment. The Great Cosmic Power, Tara, Part 2. The famous text Tantra Sara describes Tara as glowing with a divine radiance and generously offering gifts to her worshippers. Among these gifts, the texts mention a profound knowledge about the mysteries of creation, a great poetical inspiration, material prosperity, and success in one's actions. The great cosmic force Tara is known as the feminine counterpart to the great Buddha Avalokiteshvara, who looks upon and helps all beings with his divine compassion. Love, the magic of simplicity. We live our lives in a permanent rush. We keep inside a synthesis of experiences that we had. We keep past loves, victories, and defeats. But when we think of love, everything is seen in a totally different light. More alive, special, and mysterious. It is quite possible that we do not remember what we did 3 years ago on, say, January the 7th. Yet most of us will remember quite clearly and easily our first kiss, as well as our first love. Find out more about this mysterious emotion. And please join us towards the end of our broadcast when we will be performing a meditation of communion with the great goddess Tara. About Love, Part 3. Young is that person who loves always, and being very curious, he is continuously amazed and discovers many mysteries where other people don't see anything out of the ordinary. This person always asks the question, why, what happens next, etc. Such a person determines the events of his life through his creative thinking and always finds new happiness in the divine play of life. You are as young as your love and faith. You are as old as your isolation and doubt. You are as young as the greatness of your self-confidence and hopes. You are as old as your discouragement. You will always stay young as long as you will be full of love and goodwill and open towards everything that is beautiful, good, true, great, and divine. Receptive to the voice of love, to the people around you, to the infinite, and to God. If, in spite of all, your heart will be bitten by pessimism one day and tormented by cynicism because you did not heed this advice, may the good Lord have mercy upon your old and rigid heart. In the New Testament, St. Paul says the following about love in Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and I don't have love, I sound as a brass or as a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, and I don't have love, I am nothing. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I don't have love, it aids me not. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Love doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own fulfillment, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but in truth. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall end. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect cometh, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a dark glass, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am also known. And now there are these three left, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them is love. This is Tantra FM, the light that sets you free. Contemplative Sexuality, Part 1. Maithuna is the central axis around which most of the Tantra Yoga metaphysics turns, and it is a frequent topic in religious Hindu sculpture and art. Missionaries, people from the Occident, and even Hindu men influenced by the Occidental culture regard these works of art to be pornographic and claim that sexual yoga is a perverted and degraded form of Oriental spirituality. But scholars with high qualifications such as Woodrow, Desgupta, Komaraswamy, Eliade, and others establish the irrefutable truth that these images are not pornographic at all, but represent in a symbolical way a metaphysical doctrine and a sacred act. Maithuna has therefore nothing in common with sexual orgies. It symbolizes the eternal union of spirit and nature and epitomizes the fulfillment of the contemplative love or the spiritualized sexuality. The dominant idea of the Maithuna rite and of its Taoist equivalent is that sexual love can become a profound meditative worship in which the participants become living embodiments of the divine. Maithuna also implies a transmutation of the sexual energy that is generated, in example, a transformation of its attributes. Nothing is done for generating the sexual energy, it just manifests by itself, without intrusion or compulsion. It is well known that Tantra Yoga uses a complex symbolism of the subtle human anatomy. The spinal column represents the axis of life, having its roots in the underworld and its branches in heaven. The base of the spinal tree is the site of the serpent power, a symbolic image of the divine power or vitality manifested in nature and sleeping under the spell of Maya. Sexual yoga consists of the awakening of the serpent and of its controlled ascent from the roots of the spinal tree to the branches. This process defines the spiritual enlightenment and the final liberation of the human self. When the serpent stays at the base of the spinal tree, it manifests as sexual energy. When moving upward, it is called Kundalini.
When at the top of the tree, it manifests a spirit. During the Maithuna rite, the serpent is awakened and raised, being eventually directed towards the contemplation of the divine, embodied in woman and man. The two lovers sit facing each other, the man in a full lotus posture or Padmasana, the woman sitting in his lap and wrapping her legs around his waist and her arms around his neck in a state of ecstatic surrender. The Tibetan name of this position is Yab Yum, which means mother-father. This posture is obviously static. The couple remains motionless and prolongs the embrace so that the energetic charge is passive and receptive rather than active and demanding. Nothing special is done to arouse the sexual energy. It is permitted to follow its natural flow, without being seized and exploited by the will. However, the mind and the senses are not permitted to jump randomly, but are consciously yet effortlessly directed towards experiencing that which is, the immediacy of the present experience. Both Tantric and Taoist traditions emphasize the necessity for both lovers to control and refine the sexual energy, orgasm without ejaculation, and to remain in an undemanding state of mind, not using the discriminating reason, but relying on the combined forces of the body, the soul, and the spirit as a whole. For us, the importance of these ideas reside less in technical details and more in their psychological value. These ideas represent a highly evolved attitude towards relationship, sexuality, and life. If these ideas would be assimilated by the modern civilization and put to work, they would contribute unexpectedly to clarify our confusions related to marriage and sexuality. Contemplative Sexuality, Part 2. The effect of sexual contemplation is the endless orgasm. The profound meaning of the sexual yoga cannot be understood unless we understand the basic principles of Tantra and Taoism. The Taoist doctrine is based upon the idea of being in harmony with the Tao, the supreme principle. It is man in profound and conscious relationship with his environment. This vision opens the senses and thus reveals the contemplative side of the sexual experience. It is called dhyana in Tantra. Both Tantric yoga and Taoist yoga stress the importance of controlling the breathing because the rhythm of breathing determines the expansion of perception. The crucial importance of breathing is one of the important keys for understanding this approach. The perfect control over breathing, or pranayama, is attained when its rhythm is spontaneously stopped, without resulting in the disappearance of life. This is done by letting the breath flow in and out freely, without any interference, but with a keen and continuous awareness of the process. The breath starts to slow down to such a degree that the movements of inhalation and exhalation are almost imperceptible. The breathing seems to be immobilized. The way we breathe defines the way we experience and lead our lives. This imperceptible, immobile breathing defines a non-capturing attitude towards life, or wu wei, a detached non-action in the sense this term is defined in Bhagavad Gita. Action with no ego involvement. The immobilization of breathing leads to the disappearance of the mind patterns, or vrittis, which leads to the immobilization of the orgasm. Yet, the meaningful idea both for breathing and for orgasm is not immobilization, but not being aware of, in the sense of being totally effortless. Just as the contemplation of breathing slows it down almost to immobility, the contemplation of lovemaking slows it down up to suspending it into an endless orgasm. The slowing down of the body's processes has no value in itself. They are just the outer sign of the disappearance of the ego. The ego forces and pushes the pleasure instead of letting it take its natural course. The orgasm is spontaneous when it happens by itself, in its time, and when the movements of one's body are dictated by a need to respond rather than to demand. The act of sexual intercourse is just an imperfect imitation of what should happen by itself in an attitude of non-interference. From the point of view of contemplation, the sexual love is a revelation. Long before orgasm, the sexual upsurge manifests in a psychic exchange of warm love that radiates between the lovers. This warmth is so powerful that they feel as if they would ecstatically melt into each other. Thus, the sexual appetite transforms itself into the most tender and respectful love that can be imagined. Contemplative Sexuality, Part 3. In our civilization, sexuality is way below its potential. The contemplative sexuality makes it possible to spontaneously perceive our relationship with the universe. The actual technique of lovemaking is not primarily important, because here there is no result to attain. In this approach, both man and woman are spontaneously on the path of self-discovery, not judging or expecting anything in advance, but living passionately that which exists in the moment. In our era of high speed, the only technical request is to have enough time, or better yet, to take enough time. Why this? It is not only meant the time that is measured in seconds, hours, days, etc., but chiefly a psychic attribute, which could be called a degree of excellence that allows events to happen in their own time, an inner rhythm that defines a no-hurry attitude. This is a fundamentally essential attitude without which spirituality is impossible. The modern approach to sexuality is a hurried, forced event in which a woman's orgasm is a relatively rare happening and premature movements speed up a man's ejaculation. The tantric and Taoist modality of no ego involvement allows an endless exchange of love and delays the male ejaculation to the point of disappearance. This approach is much easier for women due to their basically passive, receptive nature. But once a man gets used to this spiritual approach of sexuality, he can prolong lovemaking indefinitely in time, offering to his woman the greatest possible degree of satisfaction and fulfillment, together with a quick and profound path leading to self-discovery and enlightenment.
This is Tantra FM, the key to your heart.
Tara, Part 2. One characteristic of these deities is the fact that they are often pictured riding an animal and surrounded by several entities who serve them with devotion. The famous text, Tantra Sara, describes Tara as glowing with a divine radiance and generously offering gifts to her worshippers. Among these gifts, the text mentions a profound knowledge about the mysteries of creation, a great poetical inspiration, material prosperity, and success in one's actions. The great cosmic force Tara is known as the feminine counterpart of the great Buddha Avalokiteshvara, who looks upon and helps all beings with his divine compassion. In tantric tradition, Tara, to a significant extent, resembles another great cosmic force known as Kali. Indeed, in her aspect as divine creative word, or logos, Tara is the first transformation of time and energy of life, which is also represented by Kali. Holding the power of the subtle sound, Tara also corresponds to Kali, who is the great cosmic force of time and transformation. Between the word, known as logos, and time, represented as change, there is a close interdependence. You may be able to understand that the logos is like a consciousness of time, and that time is like a kind of movement of the word. Essentially speaking, the divine logos, which is an endless and ecstatic creative vibration, represents the foundation of appearance and manifestation under different forms of energy and time. Tara represents knowledge that, from an etymological point of view, is enlightening. The word Tara means savior and originates from the Sanskrit root tri, referring to passing over, as in passing over a river, a sea, a mountain, or in other words, overcoming a difficult situation. Therefore, in an esoteric approach, we may say that the goddess Tara should be invoked in times of peril or misfortune, or when we need to make a decision and we are not sure about the alternatives. From an esoteric perspective, Tara is the knowledge that saves us. The profound meaning of this goddess is that she offers divine and endless wisdom to her disciples, freeing them from the chains of samsaric suffering, which is in fact the chain of successive reincarnations. She's like a polar star, guiding us on the path to spiritual freedom. Another meaning of the word Tara is star, in the sense that this great cosmic force is like a star in our frenetic aspiration towards God. Consequently, she is both our inspiration and our guide on the complex path to spiritual freedom. One of her cosmic attributes is to save or free us from the different troubles we have to face in life. And in this respect, she is very much like Durga, one of Kali's hypostases. Therefore, she sometimes bears the name of Durga Tara, However, while Durga signifies a power that destroys any obstacle, difficulty or negative force that aggresses us, Tara makes us almost instantaneously sublimate these aspects and, consequently, successfully overcome them. In other words, Tara is the very power that makes us transcend all the inferior and ignoble aspects of our life. From this perspective, this goddess not only saves us from imminent dangers, but she also offers us possibilities to access more and more elevated levels of spirituality. Furthermore, as the obstacle most difficult to overcome is our own mind, Tara helps us go beyond the waves and turbulence of our thoughts, beyond our very minds. Tara, Part 3. The purely spiritual action of the goddess is easy to understand. If we note the fact that the mind, together with all its functions and with the subtle energies it involves, represents only a part of a fragment. Indeed, Tara is the gigantic, extremely subtle energy of the unmanifested sound, which transcends manifestation. Therefore, she grants efficiency in our tapases which involve mantras. Furthermore, it is important to notice that creation represents a modulation of God's primordial logos, or word, in its infinite frequencies of vibration. From this perspective, Tara may be regarded as a creator and at the same time as a destroyer of the whole creation. When these actions of creation and respectively destruction or reabsorption are considered from the perspective of the phonemic energies of the divine logos, or word. In this hypostasis, Tara contains within herself all existing mantras. For instance, in order to be able to use and correctly assimilate the spiritual meaning of a mantra that synthesizes a very elevated macrocosmic aspect, and in order to be able to identify ourselves with the subtle energy of a mantra, the grace of the great cosmic force Tara is indispensable. Tara's help should be invoked with intense fervor and great aspiration. Sublime poetical inspiration and oratory talent are signs of grace from this great cosmic force. The tantric tradition asserts that Tara's devotee will have extraordinary literary talents, being able to express ideas beyond the capacities of any other man. Another important aspect with regards to Tara's action in our human microcosmos is the fact that this goddess represents the purifying force of the subtle breath that animates any living being. The breath is the primordial sound of life. Of course, in this hypostasis, ether does not represent a scientific term derived from physics. It represents much more, as it has a subtle, luminous nature, and it is the very space of consciousness from which all things appear and then disappear, beings and phenomena from the manifested world. We say that breath is the primordial sound of life because it is just like an ineffable song sustaining life in that being. The spiritual tradition of India has identified this subtle sound from immemorial times as the mantra Soham, or S-O-H-A-M. Both mind and prana, through their particular forms of expression, the word and energetic vibration respectively, originate in the subtle macrocosmic sound known as Sabda. This subtle macrocosmic sound, Sabda, is usually rendered through mantras. We may understand at this point the tremendous importance of using mantras in our daily sadhana, as mantras purify, energize, and elevate the mind and soul to the highest degree possible. The devotee who calls upon Tara with great love and reverence during this process of evolution and accomplishment of different psycho-mental aspects will receive her compassionate guidance and ultimately the liberating grace of divine transcendence.
Hello and welcome to Tantra FM, your guide to sacred love. I'm your host, Amaris.
Love, the magic of simplicity. We live our lives in a permanent rush. We keep inside of ourselves a synthesis of experiences that we've had. We keep past loves, victories as well as defeats. But when we think of love, everything is seen in a totally different light. More alive, more special, and more mysterious. It is possible that we may not remember what we did 3 years ago or a week ago. But if it is the day when you first saw him or her, the day that he told you he wanted you to be together, it all comes back to you and you keep on smiling about some details that day that made it an amazing day. If you've experienced a profound love story, there is no doubt that you were beautiful and strong, that you thought what you had was something special given to you by fate. After a while, as your love passed over your field of lust and you put aside whatever was needed to be put aside, you found yourself stronger, although apparently without something or somebody to lean on. And your love became more intense, more conscious, and even larger. Love is constructive and creative. It unites and lifts you up. It is a regenerating principle, a substance that turns everyone who's blasé and lonely. Masterpieces, poems, inspiring music, they all have in their composition something, love, and so do we. Love is real as we are. It is not a sterile concept, but the magic of all our being. The moment when not even a blade of grass is an accident, if someone loves you, should be taken into consideration. Because we exist to prove that there is love on Earth. It is the easiest thing to be transformed because of love. It is the only standard that everything else should be measured by. Shared love is the meaning of our existence, in an infinity of shapes and shades. Loving is the easiest thing to do because it is the most natural. You almost don't have to do anything else. Everyone needs to love, even before he loves somebody or something. And sooner or later, you will find someone to respond to your feelings. Love makes people search for their soulmate, to make all their dreams come true. Makes you want to know yourself. If you feel that you don't love anymore, that is because you never did, or because you stopped looking inside yourself, where there is still love. Love knows that what is inside of your mind can be changed or forgotten, and therefore lost. But love is the one that always makes you triumphant. Love simply is. We are the ones who feel it through the person that we love, through the moments of happiness. It doesn't need all those. Love does not rule and cannot be ruled. Love does not ask. It gives. It is a divine simplicity. Love is the reflection of divine love on Earth, and that is why it has no boundaries or limits. If there is love, it is everywhere, and if there is love, it is forever. Let us meditate together on the profound love as Khalil Gibran revealed it in his famous writing, The Prophet. When love beckons to you, follow him. Though his ways are hard and steep. And when his wings enfold you, yield to him, though the sword hidden among his pinions may wound you. And when he speaks to you, believe in him, though his voice may shatter your dreams as the north wind lays waste to the garden. For even as love crowns you, so shall he crucify you. Even as he is for your growth, so is he for your pruning. Even as he ascends to your height and caresses your tenderest branches that quiver in the sun, so shall he descend to your roots and shake them in their clinging to the earth. Like sheaves of corn he gathers you unto himself. He threshes you to make you naked. He sifts you to free you from your husks. He grinds you to whiteness. He kneads you until you're pliant. And then he assigns you to his sacred fire, that you may become sacred bread for God's sacred feast. All these things shall love do unto you, that you may know the secrets of your heart, and in that knowledge become a fragment of life's heart. But if in your fear you would seek only love's peace and love's pleasure, then it is better for you that you cover your nakedness and pass out of love's threshing floor into the seasonless world, where you shall laugh, but not all of your laughter, and weep, but not all of your tears. Love gives not but itself, and takes not but from itself. Love possesses not, nor would it be possessed, for love is sufficient unto love. When you love, you should not say, God is in my heart, but rather, I am in the heart of God. And think not you can direct the course of love. If it finds you worthy, directs your course. Love has no other desire but to fulfill itself. But if you love, and must needs have desires, let these be your desires: to melt and be like a running brook that sings its melody to the night, to know the pain of too much tenderness, to be wounded by your own understanding of love, and to bleed willingly and joyfully, to wake at dawn with a winged heart and give thanks for another day of loving, to rest at noon hour and meditate love's ecstasy, to return home at evening tide with gratitude, and then to sleep with a prayer for the beloved in your heart, and a song of praise upon your lips. Let us perform a meditation with the following theme: communion with the great cosmic force of divine compassion, Tara. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the aspect we're meditating upon, we shall use proper musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight, or assume a meditation pose such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana, or Padmasana. For those of you that are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, your neck, and your head are in an upward position, and they form a straight line. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you're bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you're eliminating all tension, stress, and anything else that might disturb you right now. Now we're ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the following aspect: communion with the great cosmic force of divine compassion, Tara. Let us begin.
Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed your time with us and that you will join us again for our next broadcast.